All right, hello and welcome to Let's Make an NPC. This is episode 3, because apparently we are making a series out of this. I wasn't sure I would keep up the momentum, but here we are. And this is a series of videos slash audio podcasts, depending on where you are encountering the media. This is inspired by Sly Flourish, Mike Shea over at Sly Flourish, if I can speak properly, doing his game prep as a podcast slash video thing. I'm not going to be doing game prep for an entire session. I am using these episodes to make singular characters for my sessions. And previously, I was kind of cheating because I did have some notes, although that last one, my notes were, I think, 3 sentences, and I fleshed it out into an actually completely written up Cypher System NPC. Well, this time around, a Windbreak priest, these are priests that exist in the Windbreak region of my campaign setting, called the Windbreak region because there's a bunch of tall hills. We're not really going to call them mountains. The landmass they're on doesn't really have mountains for reasons we're not going to get into here. But those tall hills serve to block a lot of the winds that come in from the larger ocean and thus block a lot of the big storms as well. Not entirely, but enough that they don't get deluged with as much horrible weather. And the Windbreak has its own culture and its own theological system, and the Windbreak priests are at the heart of this system, well, adjacent to. And that's what we're going to be working on today. So let's take a look here. I've got my NPC template that is built up in Obsidian, which is a wonderful note-taking open source free program that we can use. I am going to make a copy of this. There we go. And I'm going to close this sidebar so I can actually see what I'm doing. There we go. And for this top line here, we're going to name this Windbreak Priest. And that's also going to be the name here. Level slash target number. This is going to be, we're going to have them be 6. And that would mean times 3, we're going to have their target number be 18. These are higher ranking characters that players may have to deal with. Now, they are not high priests. The high priests, those are going to be way more difficult, like target level 8. And my players have already encountered one of them. But these are a little bit more doable. So short description, motive, health, etc., etc., etc. Let's get the low-hanging fruit here. First, health, we are going to have them be health 18. Priests are not known for having a lot of fortitude, so we're going to have that be 18. Damage inflicted, we're going to have that be 6. Armor is going to be 0. Although, do I want to have them have armor against mental attack? Yeah, let's do that. Armor of 1 versus mental attacks. There we go. Movement is going to be short because that's the default unless they've got some super bonus going on. Modifications, we will get to that. Combat, interaction, use, loot, and secrets. So there is a lot going on here, or will when we're done with this. So short description. Let's see. So once again, I am spelling things wrong. Repeatedly, let's fix this. Priests of the Windbreak serve. Now, each serve a specific deity in an unusually large pantheon. I don't have a lot of codified notes for these, but because they are part of an active campaign, I am able to draw from the world building I've already done. So thankfully, I'm not having to pause the recording and just sit there and go, what do I want to do? An unusually large pantheon for the geographical area. Working under one or more high priests, they oversee the day-to-day bureaucratic, once again, spelling things incorrectly. Thank you, Obsidian, for having spell check as well oversee the day-to-day bureaucratic operations as well as performing any required rituals. Actually, we're going to say leading because a lot of those go on. All right. So motive, let's see. Motive is going to be to shepherd. I am bad at this today. And that's got to be a lowercase s because it's a verb. Apparently, well, I'm going to have to look this up because I thought that was how shepherd is spelled, but it's saying that you can't spell it that way. Give me a second. Well, that is odd because according to DuckDuckGo, that is, in fact, how it's spelled. It's just Obsidian doesn't have that in the spell checker. So we're going to add that to dictionary. That is amazing. I was not expecting that in this particular episode. So to shepherd their followers as well as provide guidance to their deity's local incarnation. Okay, because here's the thing about the Windbreak region. Every religion in the Windbreak has a deity that is incarnated in a mortal body. Kind of like how people might see the Dalai Lama. But in this case, the local incarnation doesn't have any divine knowledge. They're not coming in with generations of experience and everything. No, the old one dies. The priests go out, find the new one. They say, hey, this is the new guy or gal or non-binary pal. And then they raise that individual. And you're not going to give them a lot of power because they're new to this. So you're going to provide guidance for them. And no, you'll have a lot of power when you're older. Some of them never actually come into their own power. Some of them only get that opportunity when it is pretty clear to the priests that they're going to make the same decisions that the priests would want them to make anyway. The deities in the Windbreak region don't actually hold any power of their own. It's the priests that do. And there's a lot of people who probably are nodding at this and saying, well, yes, isn't that how every religion works? It's not the deity. They just point to the deity and say, hey, look over there while the priests lead the flock. Yeah, I get that. This is a fictional setting, so you can draw parallels to real life things as you wish. But this is a fictional setting. Fictional, if I can speak properly. And in this case, there actually is an incarnation. The deities in the Windbreak region are, in the game setting, actual deities. They do have powers that come from who they are. And they draw power from the Windbreak region. If they leave the Windbreak region, they actually diminish in strength. But they're not the ones who are leading everyone. It's the priests that are doing it. So I think I just spoiled the beans for the secret. So we're going to put this in here. The gods who, the capitalized Windbreak, because it's the name of a region, Windbreak priests serve are not usually the ones in charge. Because the deities, I'm going to right click on that. There we go. Are found and raised at starting at an impressionable age. The priests have a strong influence over the gods that rarely ever fades. Okay, so we have name, level, short description, motive, health, damage inflicted, armor, movement, modifications, persuade or avoid being persuaded as if level 8. I mean, if they're leading a religion, there's going to be some dogmatic influences in there. If in a group of 3 or more working together, attacks and defenses. Gonna add a caveat there. Mental attacks and defenses are all as if level 8. Yes, I am drawing from the idea of a witch's coven. Combat. Rarely physical. Priests who are forced to engage in combat will resort to a variety of supernatural techniques that relate in some way to their patron deity. For example, followers of a god of light, light or darkness, may be able to blind their opponents or detect the unseen, the invisible. A god of luck might, we're not going to include that. One example is enough. All right. I don't want to spoil too much about an ongoing campaign because this is a generic thing that I'm building up, but there are multiple, like hundreds of gods in the Windbreak region. Every small community seems to have their own god. The players in this particular campaign are all gods from the Windbreak. Interaction and use. So use is how they might be encountered in a campaign setting. And interaction is, okay, you're encountering them. How do they respond to the players? What are they going to be doing? So these are related. It's weird that in the Cypher System template, by default, use shows up after interaction, but I'm not going to change it. It still works. So use, priests may be quest givers in search of holy relics or ancient tomes. They may also be conspiring against the characters. I almost wrote players. Directly or indirectly. The thing about the Windbreak region is, while there is a holy conclave that happens every 10 years, each religion has its own sort of like domain, and there's a lot of treaties between them to try to keep them from stepping on each other's toes, but the treaties are only as good as they can be enforced. So, for example, if we have a god of light and a god of darkness, they might be diametrically opposed, but hey, trying to find things that are hidden, that might be something where they're both sort of warring over that domain. So there might be priests that are trying to get more information or build up more in one particular area, wherever there's overlap in a Venn diagram. So there's definitely room for infighting. Loot. Now, if this is a character that is level 6, we can't just say, oh, you defeated them, they've got nothing on them. That wouldn't be fair. So we're going to say 2 to 3 random ciphers, possibly holy relics in their own right, though the priest may not necessarily, once again, spell check, know their true use. Okay. And interaction, as stated, priests will rarely initiate physical conflict, preferring bargaining, debate, or, if necessary, having armed guards do the heavy lifting for them. They will usually be presiding over meetings where lower ranking members of the clergy perform whatever tasks are needed. Okay. If they interact directly, it will be because the characters have either earned their respect or their ire, comma, but the priest might not reveal which is which. There is a god of trickery and deception, so definitely might not reveal, oh, hey, I really like you, or actually, I really don't like you in that particular case. So we have the setup. So Windbreak Priest, target level, level is 6, target number 18. Priests of the Windbreak region each serve a specific deity in an unusually large pantheon for the geographical area. Working under one or more high priests, they oversee the day-to-day bureaucratic operations, as well as leading any required rituals. Leading in. Motive, to shepherd their followers as well as provide guidance to their deity's local incarnation. Health, 18. Damage inflicted, 6. Armor, 0, although armor of 1 versus mental attacks. Movement is short. Modifications, they persuade or avoid being persuaded as if level 8, and if they're in a group of 3 or more working together, mental attacks and defenses are all as if level 8. These can be an end boss for an arc or campaign. Rarely physical, priests who are forced to engage in combat will resort to a variety of supernatural techniques that relate in some way to their patron deity. For example, followers of a god of light or darkness may be able to blind their opponents or detect the invisible. Interaction. As stated, priests will rarely initiate physical conflict, preferring bargaining, debate, or if necessary, having armed guards do the heavy lifting for them. They will usually be presiding over meetings where their lower-ranking members of the clergy perform whatever tasks are needed. If they interact directly, it will be because the characters have either earned their respect or their ire, but the priest might not reveal which is which. Use, priests may be quest givers in search of holy relics or ancient tomes. They may also be conspiring against the characters directly or indirectly. Loot, 2-3 random ciphers, possibly holy relics in their own right, though the priest may not necessarily know their true use. They might have some scepter or staff or amulet that they didn't realize was a cipher because it was sacrilegious for them to investigate it further. They just took it out for religious reasons and then put it back in storage otherwise. Secrets. The gods of the Windbreak priests serve. The gods who the Windbreak priests serve are not usually the ones in charge. I'm going to put serve in quotes here because, let's face it, that's what the case is. There we go. Because the deities are found and raised starting at an impressionable age, the priests have a strong influence over the gods that rarely ever fades. So, thank you for hanging out with me while I created this new NPC so that I can actually use it in my campaigns instead of winging it as I have previously done for when priests were encountered in my campaign. I do have some art that I have modified from a public domain source that I'm going to be including with the download for this, along with all the other NPCs that I make. I'm going to keep posting those, so that's going to be fun. And if I can find the right button, I'm going to play us out here. All right, thank you again for listening. This was Let's Make an NPC Episode 3, The Windbreak Priest for Cypher System. Music is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. It's public domain. You can get that from mudarchive.org. I take all this stuff and put it over on aaronbsmith.com, where you can subscribe to all of my podcasts with various RSS feeds. You can send me email at cogwheel@aaronbsmith.com. We are on the Fediverse at is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel, but also these videos go not live technically, but they do go up on tube.fediverse.games/c/cogwheel if you want to go there to get a podcast feed for just the videos, or subscribe to those or follow those through whatever Fediverse account you have. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, and all content goes there first. And you could join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Shen Shen, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. Have fun.